was that ever wonderful worshiping? Did you enjoy that? I sure did. That's the way I like to worship the Lord. We'll just share the screen, and we'll get on with the fantastic. As I said, it's wonderful to be here, and it's wonderful to be able to share from God's holy word. I must admit, I had a hard time getting a message together. You're going to say, what? So much to be thankful for? Because, see, when Andrew asked me to speak, he said that I was to speak on a Thanksgiving message. And I really had trouble. So what I did, I prayed, of course. And I looked through, I actually listened to all of these messages. Some of them I listened to twice because I thought maybe I'd be speaking on Judges. Excuse me, I got to take my hearing aid out. They're new ones. And it's echoing back, and there we go. That's better. So anyway, what was I going to do? I wanted a message for Parkcrest. Lord, help me. And I listened to these things, these people, and even that turned me off because I felt so inadequate. I mean, these guys that you've had, and I'm going to, piece of paper here, if you want to write down, because this whole message is a message of thanksgiving, and I think one of the things we at Parkhurst, and I say we, because you signed my letter of commendation 57 years ago, so I'm part of you whether you like it or not. So here I am, and I feel part of you, and I listen to every one of these people, and Harold, I've never heard him before, and Kevin, I've never heard him before. Wow! And then you had Alistair and Ashley here, too. Fantastic practical theologians. And I thought, wow, what messages. So I said, Lord, I'm not supposed to speak on Judges, so I'm not going to speak on Judges. But I'm going to be mentioning it over and over and over. Because my subject is, what can we be thankful for by studying the book of Judges? It's a Thanksgiving message. And Andrew isn't here. So he might hear this, though. He might not invite me back. But we have so much to be thankful for. I mean, we can be thankful for the Lord's Supper we had this morning. The Lord's breakfast, or whatever you want to call it. The communion service, that was awesome. And then the worship we just sung. I mean, I had tears running down my face. Because, I mean, it's so awesome, our God. And when you look at the book of Judges, you're going to say, what can you be thankful for? Nothing. There's nothing to be thankful for because all it is war and people getting killed and this person killed and that person killed. But there is so much to be thankful in the book. And the major part, the major theme, because I'm going to be repeating myself, the major part is the fact that God was willing to repeat the deliverance of his idolatrous people over and over and again. And the thing that we can be so thankful for, each one of us here, the God, we're going to see, listens to us, he hears us, and when we goof and we confess it, he's willing to forgive us. Not once, not twice, not three times, over and over and over again. So one of the biggest facts here in the book of Judges is that God listens to his people, you people, we people, Parkcrest people. And that is so good to be thankful for. Let's read this verses then. If you want to follow along, look up Acts chapter 13, verse 17. Acts 13, 17. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arms, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he put up with them. He put up with them. He, God, put up with them, the children of Israel, in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. As we read this, we ask, why did God give them judges? Do we have judges? Can we thank God for the judges? I say yes. And I thank God for these speakers that you've had here at Parkcrest. I thank God for the pastors that bring the message of God to his people. I thank God for the elders and deacons of our assemblies that help us in organizing and arranging. I give thanks to them. And God listens to them. 450 years, when God finally allowed Israel to enter the promised land, he commanded it to drive out the idolatrous nations. God asked them to do one thing, and that was the people of Israel would drive out, get rid of, just like God asked us to get rid of sin in our life. God doesn't want us to sin. God wants us to get into the Word of God and try to live according to the Word of God. But how many times do we make mistakes? How many times do we take two steps forward and only one step, two steps, three steps back? How many times do we go to the left or to the right? How many times do we go ahead of God? How many times do we go not keeping up with God? And yet every time we confess, he forgives us. Real. Do we do that to our friends? Not as much as we should. Do we really, really forgive our friends when they do something against us, when they talk bad about us, when they... Do we? Well, God certainly did. God, he asked them to do one thing. But Israel did not obey God, just like we don't obey God. And as God wants us to get all the idols, which we're going to be talking about, out of our lives, we don't want to do that. When God wants us to get rid of all of the things in our life that are blinding us, all the things in our life that are walls in front of us so we can't worship God because we can't serve God, God wants us to get them out of our lives. And you're going to say, it's hard. I know it's hard. It's impossible for me to get the sin and all that out of my life personally. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And it's unbelievable what we can do when we think we can't do it. I can be walking along, and if Satan's in front of me, and I won't give examples, but you can imagine things, I can make a 180-degree turn and go the other way and follow Jesus. Because he gives me the power. I have the power. And that's the Holy Spirit in our lives. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he gave me the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in my life, and he's there to help me, to guide me, to correct me. So I can truthfully say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I could give you example after example. After 75 countries that I've been to, you can imagine some of the problems I've had, whether it's in the jungles of Africa, going from point A to point B in a jungled taxi, or when the plane gets to the end of the runway and it skids, and you're sitting there, boy, you're praying. But we have so much to be thankful for. They were asked to drive out. That's all they were supposed to do. They were to drive out the idolatrous pagans inhabiting the land. Did they? No. We read, did not drive out the inhabitants. The Canaanites persistent in dwelling in the land did not drive them out. They used them as slaves, as laborers. But God didn't want them to use them as slavers. He wanted to get them out of the land. Just like when the children of Israel left Egypt, not very many days later, what were they doing? Where they were at Mount Sinai, and what did they do? They were so used to being amongst the Egyptians, idol worshippers, that they built a calf and they knelt down to the calf. This was the people of God, because we know that other people from Egypt came with them as they came out. So they were mingled. That's why God wants us to have Christian fellowship. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have home cell groups. That's why we have Awana. That's why we have Christian Service Brigade. All of these things to help us to grow in our faith and to help us to keep out of the world and the world out of our life. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. It says in the Word of God here in Judges 2:2, "But you have not obeyed my voice. What is this that you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you." It's just like around us. It's just like if we get into the world like the world is as it is today, we're going to be contaminated. Now, I'm not going to say stay out of the world in the sense of, you know, stay in your own house, don't have any fellowship with your neighbors, don't talk to anybody, just come to church, meet with God. Well, we are the light. We are the salt. We are the, I don't think we're pepper, but we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And but with that, we pray, God, preserve me, help me, guide me, so I can tell this person, that person, about Jesus. And we read also that they went after other gods from amongst the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them. Remember one time, I'm a very positive person. Here I am in Argentina. We're missionaries, having a great time, telling men and women, boys and girls about Jesus. And everybody there was negative. They were going through inflation, unreasonable amount, and everybody was negative. Everybody was negative. Everybody was negative. Do you know what happened to me? I became a negative person for about a year. And boy, did my wife kick me in the backside. She says, "You can't be negative." But why was I negative? Because I was there and they influenced me. And I give that as a confession. Me, a negative person. We have to be careful. We have to be working together with our brothers and sisters to go out into the world, to tell the world about Jesus, but not to be contaminated by the world. But here we find here, "But you have not obeyed," it says. You have not obeyed. They didn't drive them out. No, they kept them. They kept them as slaves. And there we have in the whole book, as you've heard over and over, and you're going to hear it more times probably before the end of studying Judges, but we think of that cycle. Disobedience. Judgment. Repentance. And deliverance. Oh, I thank God for that. I thank God that he listened to his people. Even though they were so stubborn, so backwards about being going forward. But God listened to them. And that's why I can praise him and thank him for it. And when you think again, there they are. Over and over again, you can read that. You can see that. It says here, in Judges chapter 2:16, "Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of those who were plundering them." Who raised up the judges? God. God raised up help, encouragement for the people of Israel. And he does the same for us. And we can thank God for that this Thanksgiving. Tomorrow, oh, I know some of you had turkey last night. I know that, but I'm having mine tonight. So when I cut that turkey, I'm going to thank God that he listens to me. Even though I goof, I make mistakes, I say things I shouldn't say, I do things I shouldn't do, but he's always there. And that's something to thank God for. That's thank him for. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they prostituted themselves to other gods and bowed down, worshiped them. And we find this over and over again, that he did that. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Oop, what happened? What happened? Okay. Technology. Our screen. Sorry. What do we have? It seems like it's on, but it's not sharing. Have I done something wrong, or is something in the back? Pardon?
Is he at the church, or is he at home?
Okay, there we go. There we go.
He's having trouble with the
audio. So we find that they do it over. It's like our children, like we have right here. Our children get in trouble. The children cry to us, and we forgive them. And God's the same thing. God's the same thing. God does the same thing. And that is so, so exciting. The book of Judges is so full of things that we can thank him for. So wonderful. And you know what happened? They cried out to the Lord. And the Lord will help you. If you cry out to the Lord, he'll help you. You can be thankful this Thanksgiving that we can cry out to the Lord and he'll help us. Judges 3:9 said, but when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Othniel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge. And the Lord gave Othniel victory over them. So they were peace in the land for 40 years. You want peace in your life? You can have peace in your life. You really can. When we accept Jesus into our heart and we confess our sins, he's faithful and he will forgive you. Just as these people cried out to God and God helped them. And that's salvation is something we can thank God for. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to walk up the stairs in front of Parkcrest here on your knees. You just go say, Jesus, I need your help. I need you. And he'll listen to you. God will rescue there you. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he does that. He will give you rest. Again, we find the different things in chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 10, 10. We find it over and over again. Again, Israel, after God forgave them, did evil in this sight. After the generation died, we read this over and over. After the generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. But as we acknowledge the Lord, as we put the Lord in the primer plano, in the first place in our lives, in our the CIO or whatever you call it into your life, he will come in and help you, encourage you over and over. Here's another one. Here's rescued the people. Jesus rescued the people. Yet Israel did not listen to the judge, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors who had walked in obedience to the Lord. But the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord raised up a rescuer for them. And God raised up a rescuer for us, and that was Jesus. Jesus is our rescuer. We can have a relationship with God. It said that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we can thank God for Jesus, because of him, I can have a wonderful relationship with my creator. Now that's something to really be thankful for. And that's why I give out Bibles and tracts and so on, is so that people will know that there is a way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by him. But we have to go to him. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of their raiders. And God does the same thing for us. And it's something that this Thanksgiving, if we forget everything else that is said this morning, don't forget that Jesus came to rescue us. He is the rescuer. He is the deliverer. He is the one that's come from God in the person of Jesus. And he lived here for 33 years, and he came to rescue us. Now, again, chapter 3:12. Once again, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. But when the people of Israel cried out, I know this is repetition, but we've got to get the idea here that Jesus over and over, look at in chapter 4, verse 1. Again, the deliverer, the judge, the rescuer came to help the people. They listened to him. And then when that person died, they went back into sin. Chapter 6, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Israelites cried out to the Lord, 6:6. And one more example, but there's so many examples here. And it's something that we can grasp, that we know we fall into the same trap. We get distracted from the world around us. There's so much going on. There's so much problems. And as our brother said in the opening here, we get negative. He likes Thanksgiving. I think he probably likes Thanksgiving, though, for the turkey. No. Just kidding. But really, Thanksgiving is a time that we can say, yes, yes. Thank you, God. Thank you for sending a rescuer for us. Now, as we go through the story, we've got to think of something, too, about what were the sins of Israel. Then Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served Baal. Very interesting. And Baal was the chief of the Canaanite gods. But the interesting thing is, and I'm going to be mentioning one of your speakers you had here, I think it was Kevin. I think he spoke on it, but we'll check on that in a minute. But the nice thing and the interesting thing here, it wasn't necessarily an idol. I know that the idol looked like something like that, but that idol represented economy. Because that idol, as I studied and I looked at it, idolatry is an economical issue here. It's a money, 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 money issue. When we read about the Israelites worshiping the god Baal in 1 Kings 18, we tend to think of them developing a preference for a wooden or a gold idol, like an idol. Yes, they had idols like that. But the primary attraction to Baal wasn't a pretty statue. It was an economical promise. And you read the history in Kings and so on. It was an economical promise. For the nations around Israel, Baal was the rider of the clouds. Let me repeat that. The rider of the clouds, who brought the rain and blessed the earth. When Baal showed up, the heavens rained oil. The rivers ran with honey. Mothers gave birth to healthy children, and even the dead could be raised. No wonder the Israelites turned to worship this God, the whole idea of economy. And as though it was not enough to follow the sinful example of Jezebel, for instance, married Jeroboam, and the whole country worshiped Baal because they want to have prosperity. And we fall in the same trap. We want more. We want more this, more that, more the other thing. We think worshiping an idol is this. Or we think all the poor people in other countries worshiping idols. That's what we think idols are. But this particular idol, Baal, was the whole idea of the economy. More rain so the vegetables would grow. More oil, more all these wonderful things. But this is the God of today. We might not call it Baal. We might think it's not an idol, but this is what we really go after. Now, nothing wrong with having money. I'm doing very well myself, thanks. Thank God. But what is the primary goal in your life or my life? But we can thank God for his provision, as we're going to see. It's so important, the provision of God. What was the operation of the spirit of Baal in the Bible? As I said, Baal is translated owner, master, ruler, or lord. He wants to control mankind if possible. Interestingly, Baal was the chief of the Canaanite gods. And I put in here, check out the third message on Judges by Kevin. What a fantastic definition of Baal. Wonderful. You'll be blessed again. And you can get that on the internet. Yahweh. Elohim. God. Baal. You have to choose. And when you choose God, you're going to have success in your life. And that's for sure. You're going to have success. You can have everything. You know, I have a neighbor, a very nice neighbor, that I cut her grass. She's not a little lady. I went into her living room, and she had a beautiful picture of the Pope there. And she had a beautiful picture of Hare Krishna. And he had a picture of some Sikh person. And I said to her, I said, are you Catholic? She says, no. She says, I have all three of them because I want to make sure. But, you know, you can't sit on the fence. You can't be lukewarm. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. And as you serve Jesus, he's going to give you all the benefits that we have in the Word of God. He's going to bless you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. So we can thank God that we can not straddle the fence. We don't have to be a fence straddling. Jesus is the light. He'll help us. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. This is just another example. Another example of God and Baal. Wall Street. Money. That's what it is. The splendor of the worship. People turned to Baal and left Yahweh. They turned to money and sex and all the other things that were associated with worshiping Baal. And they turned 180 degrees against God. But God loved them. God sent back rescuers, judges, helpers, people to guide them and help them. What was the difference between Yahweh and Baal? Yahweh was the God of Israel. And got to take this off too because they're going to send an ambulance. Anyway, this is it. Whom will you serve? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this Thanksgiving, as we should be thankful all year round, but just to take this special day tomorrow and thank him for some of these things. What has all this to do with us this morning? Well, nothing's wrong with having money. Nothing's wrong with a family. Nothing's wrong with careers. Nothing wrong with things. But what is the most important in your life? What is the most important in my life? Matthew puts it this way. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sinned against me? Seven times. No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. We live wholly on mercy and forgiveness. God, forgive us over and over again. And that's what one thing on this Thanksgiving, after studying Judges, thanks to Park Crest, thanks to your speakers, I'm going to be thanking God that he forgives me over and over and over. I'm forgiven. And I thank God. This is one of my favorite verses. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So come. Come to Jesus and think, I'm forgiven. I'm forgive you, Jesus said. And when Jesus looks down to see Ron Edgecombe, he doesn't see Ron Edgecombe. He sees this guy covered in the blood of Christ, that Christ on the cross of Calvary, he died for this guy. But it's my responsibility to ask for forgiveness. Yes? Who is a God? Who is a God like you? Who pardons sin and forgives our transgressions? Do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again hold compassion on me. You will tread out my sins underfoot and hurl all my iniquities into the depths of the sea. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. You're forgiven. And we can thank God for that. Andrew said, God is merciful and patient in his message. The second message on Judges. Remember that tomorrow. Remember that today. God is merciful and is patient with me. I'm in the process, as you know, I'm going through some of the love, joy, peace, and I come to patience. I'm having trouble with that one. I haven't finished a sermon on that yet. Because I'm not as patient as God, that's for sure. But God's patient, so we can thank God for that. Kevin said, oh, God always does what he says he's going to do. And I think that is very important. I think that is extremely important. God will answer our prayers. God was involved. This is what Harold said in his messages. God is love in spite of what we think. We are dependent on God's mercy. Thank God for his mercy this Thanksgiving. Thank God for his patience. Thanks God for raising up a deliverer. And as you listen to these messages, you could do it again. You'll find other wonderful things too. God will not let go of his people. God will not let go of you, Kevin said. And that's a biblical concept. Kevin also said, the Lord continues to care for his people. Thank God for him taking care of me. Harold, Judges 3:19, he had raised up deliverers, just as God raised up Jesus as our deliverer. So he did. We can thank God for that. He, the Lord, raised up a deliverer. God will answer our prayers. God was involved. God wants to be involved in your life as he wants to be involved in my life. And these are messages that you've listened to, and you can listen to them again because they're rich. God is love in spite of what we think. We are dependent on God's mercy. I enjoyed Harold's message very much. David Jones said, God will help us leave a good legacy. And that's what I want to do. I want to leave for my children a good legacy, and God will do that. And he showed that as we studied Judges under him. And I love this one here when he talked about Moses, God, and Barak doubted God's call, and yet David mentioned that God used a woman, Deborah. Baruch said to her, if you will go with me, I will go. And if you will go with me, I will not go. If you don't go with me, I won't go. God provided a helper like he does for us.
God used Gideon. He was chicken. He was hiding behind the bushes. Moses says, I can't talk right. I stutter. But God used him. God can use you. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. And God used a woman, Deborah, to bring them out of this situation.
Alistair says, Judges 7, God used Gideon, an unlikely candidate. God uses each of us. And the big word is, he went over and over with. God is with us. We are with God. And we can do everything that we are supposed to do under the direction and guidance of God. God is with us. He's here today. And that's something we can certainly thank God for. Asher said, we can cry out to God. We can cry out to God. Alistair says, God used Gideon, an unlikely candidate. God used each of us. God is with you. Yes, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And that's the big thing. I'm forgiven. Me. Who am I that God should forgive me? I have done nada. Nothing, rien. I haven't done anything. All I said, Jesus, come into my life, come in today, come in to stay, come into my life, Lord Jesus. And he came and he's helped me for the last 57 years. We here at Parkcrest are forgiven if we ask God. Let's thank God for that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of these things we find in Judges that we can thank you for in this Thanksgiving Sunday. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we sit around the table this afternoon, or as some did last night, or some will do on Monday, as we pray, as we ask each person around the table, what are you thankful for? We pray, Heavenly Father, some of these things will come up. We are so thankful. We are a thankful people, even though many times we forget to thank you. And as we say grace, or as we talk, as we pray over the phone with somebody, or as we send an email and pray with an email or a text message or with one of the platforms, Lord, help us to be thankful. Thank you for Parkcrest. Thank you for the good teaching that you're giving the saints here at Parkcrest. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that the doors are open. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful time out having coffee out the outside and the leaves falling down from the tree. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We give you our thanks, Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Enjoy your beautiful day. Don't eat too much turkey.
It was a good message.
It was a good message. Okay, so we should have a most guy coming in soon.
The most guy?
The most guy.
Are we going to give thanks for the most guy?
Giving thanks for the most guy.
Yeah, I don't know what...